Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Best Practices for System Z Composite Application Management. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, we'll share best practice advice on how to isolate, diagnose, and fix application performance problems so you can take full advantage of these critical new composite applications. The speakers for today's teleconference are Jean-Jacques Heller, Software Architect, IBM Tivoli Software, Joyce Ruff, Security Market Manager, IBM Tivoli Software, and Julie Craig, Senior Analyst, Enterprise Management Associates. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, Jean-Jacques Heller. Please go ahead.
Thank you. In this presentation, we will examine the ever-increasing challenges that IT organizations face in today's technology world, and how it becomes more difficult to satisfy in a cost-effective fashion the various technological and business constraints. In particular, we will look at the specific challenges brought about by composite applications with a particular look at the ZOS environment. We will also show how using Tivoli monitoring products can promote better understanding, control, and handle on the IT environment, which in itself will be conducive to substantial savings and improvement in meeting business goals. So if you go to the next slide, the CIOs in different companies have to perform a balancing act, which is to deliver business innovation while maintaining business resiliency. They are faced with three categories of challenges that I like to refer to as the three C's: complexity, compliance, and change. As far as complexity is concerned, I have several examples of that, but I'll just give some of them, but not limited to that. IT environments now follow an NT architecture. It's no more the traditional three tiers of the 90s or the two tiers of the 80s. They also have a huge amount of legacy code and no knowledgeable skills to maintain it. Original programmers are either retired or nowhere to be found, or worse. Also, there are some organizations that are geographically distributed with cultural differences, time difference, language barriers, etc. People are no longer co-located within geography, which means that you cannot walk down the hall to communicate with a colleague, and you cannot jump on a plane either. And also, people who need to collaborate may not be in the same company, either because of outsourcing or because of the nature of the business of the company, like, for instance, in a supply chain integration company. As far as compliance is concerned, I think it suffices to say, because of the complexity, the geographical distribution of human and technology resources have added another dimension in privacy, security, which already were there, but that has been compounded by this distribution. And whenever you have that, you have to increase the audit capabilities to comply. Now, for change, there's a cliche that says change is constant. I just want to make two general statements there, because I don't want to go to the run of the mill that everybody is aware of. So new technologies and tools hit the market on a continuous basis, and they are basically stemming from the ever-increasing number of Internet users and new online access to business by customers, by affiliates, or their representatives. And in addition to that, there's a constant change in demographic and skills among personnel. I can remember that in the 80s, college graduates would not consider joining a company if it didn't have any Unix or C somewhere in their IT departments. In the late 90s, it was Java. And now, in addition to Unix and Java, it is web-related technology. I think the case in point, you can consider the fact that WAS, which is a Web Scale Application Server, offers now batch processing with Java on ZOS to replace traditional mainframe batch processing. So if you go to the next slide, looking at the cost distribution of the IT budget in the upper left corner of the slide, we see that the labor comprises about 70% of the spending, and of those 70%, 60% allocated to support and maintenance, while only 25% to application development. I've just looked at this pie there and added up the different slices. In addition, the overall IT operation budget lags behind corporate revenues, which requires additional efficiency on the part of IT to meet demand. As a consequence, IT organization cannot keep pace with change and complexity. It is found that the majority of problems are related to the changes in environment, and in fact, complexity exposes lack of integration across IT organizations. Now, if you look at the bottom right corner of the slide, what it means there is that you have a smaller percentage of operations spending is being allocated to software application development, which significantly affects innovation and reduces software resiliency and reliability. For instance, IT organizations cannot afford adequate QA of their applications. And in a sense, that means that customers become the IT system test team. Now, going to the next slide. So we have identified that IT environments are following an N-tier architecture. In that sort of architecture, what is paramount is the presence of composite transactions. That is, transactions that span across hybrid platforms and middleware. The requests and the responses for those transactions flow through multiple physical environments, with usually ZOS used as legacy backend, with high-volume transaction processing systems like Qix IMS or DBMS database management system like DB2. And these systems are front-ended by J2E or web services applications on distributed. What is worth noting, though, is that there is a new breed of application that is running in the ZOS environment, including everything from HTTP server, application server, WebSphere, all that in addition to DB2, Qix, or IMS. And that stems from the need for high resiliency, availability, and serviceability, which is the RAS and ZOS environment trademark. And also, it is facilitated by the use of specialized processors like the ZAP, which is a ZAAP, Z Application Assist Processor for Java, and ZIP, Z-I-I-P, Z Integrated Information Processor for DB2. In both cases, specific applications can run on special processors that are cheaper than regular central processors. Now, what are the different statement that you can say about associated with a composite application? Well, obviously, they have different deployment topologies, different development team, of course, different systems, and as I was mentioning earlier, different geographical and physical location. So on the one hand, that's good because that gives IT organization a considerable amount of flexibility, like being able to have a clean separation of concerns, the GUI side, the web pages side, the network, the client applications and the server applications. So the teams can concentrate on what they do best. Web pages for GUI designers, Java programmers on Java environment, client and server programmers can concentrate on their area. And of course, that also promotes new technologies like service-oriented architecture, SOAP, which promotes reusability of services. But on the other hand, there's a considerable amount of administration and problem determination in these environments. And typical questions that you have are which components are involved in the problem reported by end users? Who owns the resulting problem ticket? You have multiple development teams, as already mentioned, multiple platforms, and multiple providing vendors as well, if possible, to third-party vendors. So what is the business impact of a down server also? So also, can we build in some standard reporting and metrics into the applications easily? So these are the questions that composite applications are adding in terms of complexity. Typical problems, if you go to the next slide that is incurred with those transactions, is what happens when a problem occurs, right? I already mentioned that. There is a major cultural issue in today's IT environments that distributed and mainframe departments still do not communicate very well because it's a different philosophy, they have different procedures and attitudes toward maintenance and support. And also, this lack of communication is compounded by the fact that the distributed environment may be in one location and the mainframe in another location. So when a problem occurs somewhere in the life of a transaction, composite transaction, then the blame game starts. I mean, to say that you have questioned the statement like, so this is not my fault, this is your fault, you're pointing the fingers left and right. Somebody would say, for instance, everything is okay in my environment. My subsystems still show sub-second response time, so it's not my problem. You cannot prove that the culprit is in my area. So basically the blame game is having a feast there. So I guess we have laid down the problems there that are currently faced by organizations. So what can Tivoli and IBM do to help advance the ball there? So when you have a problem, we have inconclusive, scattered, seemingly contradictory clues of where and why problems occur, why we do not scale, where the bottlenecks occur, and therefore why we don't meet SLAs, which are service level agreements, and eventually why we're not making money. So if you go to the next slide, what do you do? Well, enter the CSI team. Basically, a three-point approach. Understand that the crime has been committed, collect the evidence, and then identify and prosecute the guilty. So where do we start? In the next slide, you have to understand that the crime has been committed. So the ultimate effect of a problem is the degradation in the end user response time, so you have to start there. And to do that, you can use Tivoli product to automate the response time measurement and reproduce the user experience. That's first step. Second step, if you go to the next slide, you have to track transactions across the regions and inside them if necessary. So you can also use Tivoli products to follow the whereabouts of business transactions across platforms and application servers, collecting elapsed times in those environments. The way you do that is by putting monitoring agents in the application servers, the regions and the middleware, also conduits and domains. So just to give you a list there, you have what the application server was, J2E, KIX, IMS, MQ domain, the KIX transaction gateway, the IMS connect, and SOAP, etc. So I've put on the slide there the various scenarios that you can consider on the ZOS, mostly because I was mentioning earlier that there is some kind of movement to push some of the middle tiers towards ZOS, so putting some emphasis in this area would be probably a good thing to do. So you have to track requests, but also you may want to know what's going on within each of these application environments, so you may want to add some granularity by concentrating on deep diving operation into specific candidate problems area. So you trace individual transactions inside application servers or regions, showing where the applications spend their time, elapsed time, and CPU time. So on the next slide, what are the benefits that you can derive from tracking and tracing? The best thing to do, rather than being general, is to invoke some examples based on some experience that I have with customers, both for tracking and tracing. I found that one of the most commonly used composite application tracking scenarios at the customers would be from J2E to KIX. And it wouldn't be just a straight J2E invocation to KIX, but before you go into other regions, you go to a first KIX region, which is called a TOR, or Terminal Owning Region, which acts as a traffic cop to back-end KIX AORs, which can be located on different platforms. And usually these KIX AORs, which stands for AOR, standing for Application Owning Region, are symmetric, and the presence of the TOR acts as a load balancing element. So transaction tracking would expose bad load balancing algorithm. And I found that to be the case when most of the transactions at some customers will be directed towards the same or a cluster of application owning regions, as opposed to be very well balanced. And can even remember pointing out to customers with a Tivoli product that when the customer thought that a particular application would be taking place in a particular AOR, that was not the case. It was actually very concentrated on two or three of them. So in addition to that, transaction tracking can in time help build an application topology table. Like, if you just summarize where a transaction would take place and how often, then you can have very good input into impact analysis, which is, very, very critical if you want to know what the impact of a down server would be to a particular application. Now, if you're dealing with symmetric applications like symmetric regions, fixed regions, then one going down is not that critical. But if some applications reside into specific application regions, then that region going down will have considerable effect. As far as transaction tracing, I have a countless number of examples, but I will just cite the following example. I had a customer who had distributed J2E region accessing a CIACS region, and therefore when you deal with a distributed to mainframe, you have to deal with ASCII epsilic conversion. And the way this is done, if you use a vanilla KIX program called DFHCCNV, you specify for each transaction what the profile of the communication area would be in terms of contents, binary data or character data, and specify exactly where the conversion has to take place. So it's very convenient and generic because you don't have to think much. You just, for each transaction, specify what has to be translated, and you let CICS on the back end do the conversion. But this convenience is also a nuisance because it's very generic and it could be very time-consuming. So in particular, I can remember this example, a customer, when they took advantage of this translation facility, and per KIX region they had about, 100s of transactions, and each one of them a different profile of COM area, which means that when you would go to the generic program on the CICS, you would take a preposterous amount of time to do this translation. They were not aware of that, so when you retrace the transaction on the back end with one of the Tivoli products, they could see that the amount of CPU time and elapsed time was spent in that conversion program was a big part of the transaction itself. And so some kind of bulb light up there in people's mind, and they say, well, maybe we could actually move this translation on the front end, which is on the J2E side, when you know exactly what transaction you are dealing with, and you can do it in a more specific fashion rather than generic fashion. And of course, the other aspect of it is that the CPU time on distributed is less expensive than on the mainframe. So there is a lot of benefits of following in a systematic fashion a transaction, either tracking across the environment, but also inside application server themselves. If you go to the next slide, I will show how these transaction tracking and tracing can be done in real time or in flight. In a particular example that I'm going to be showing with screenshots there, I will take the example of a composite transaction consisting in a J2E servlet running in WASZ accessing an IMS transaction. The IMS transaction will be tracked from a local region through a remote region, and they are connected through multiple system coupling or MSC. The application itself will be running remotely. So on the first screen here, if you look at a complete transaction, for instance, that's the slide number 12, there's a screen that we're looking at right now is the servlet where the request originates. We can see a very simple trace there with little granularity because the level of granularity has been limited in this particular example. You see the start of a servlet, the end of a servlet, and you see an arrow going out of the servlet trace and an arrow coming in. And at the end of the servlet, the total elapsed time in milliseconds, 178 milliseconds. So if you click on the arrow going out, which says I'm going to demo Plex 1 I91, which is basically the name of the first IMS region that you're going to be hitting when you get out of the servlet. On the next slide, you see a trace of the transaction as it traverses the various regions of the IMS network. Each plus sign there is an event in the life of the transaction, and I don't know if it is very clear on the slide itself. You'll see that some of them take place in region I91A, like the first two ones, and some other takes place in I91B, which is the other region, the remote region. And coming back to I91A, and the format of this tracking is the same as the format in the servlet, in the sense that you also have the elapsed time. That way you can see the amount of time being spent not only globally in the region that you are looking at, but also spent in each event. Look at the next slide, you could actually click on any of these events and have more information as to what are the contextual data. So you have information about the event itself, the transaction name, and who is the client, and in some cases the contents of the message at a particular point in the transaction. Now, this is what you see when you look at a complete transaction occurring after the fact. The transaction has been stored on a database that you can query anytime after the completion of the transaction. But there are some cases when the transaction is in flight and for some reason you have a case of a hung transaction and it's blocked somewhere, you don't know where. So if you go to the next slide, which is slide number 15, there is a screen that shows the list of in-flight transactions, and it shows in this example the same transaction that is running both on J2E and on IMS, and so you have two lines. And if I was able to make this page refresh, you would see that the total resident time there, which is the column before the last one on the right, that will increase. That tells us that we have an in-flight transaction that is stuck somewhere. So the way it looks, you click on any of this transaction there, and you are led to a screen that shows you what's going on. Like the previous screen for the complete transaction, you only see an outgoing arrow from the servlet trace, which leads you to believe that something is happening in IMS because you haven't come back. So if you go to the next screenshot, which is screenshot 17, indeed you also see what's going on the IMS side. You have an incoming arrow but no outgoing arrow, and you can see that the problem occurs after event 3 because you don't have anything after that. So you have a partial trace in the IMS thread which can show you exactly what the transaction was doing when it's being blocked. So tracing can be done after the fact on a complete transaction for a statistical reason, but also for problem determination purpose on in-flight transaction, you can see what's going on there. Now, if you go to the next slide, well, we've seen how you can use tracking and tracing to problem resolutions, but what do you do in a proactive fashion? What do you do on a regular basis in order to prevent these problems, or at least have an inkling as to the possibility of this problem occurring? So what you want to do is to monitor your environment in regular basis, and what you measure there is, as I was mentioning earlier, response times and also end user and across the transactions. And look at some resources that affect performance, like system resources and application resources. And you also want to do that on a regular basis, that on demand you can have collection of the diagnostic data, whether or not they are problematic, but that gives you some kind of a pulse as to what system is behaving. And also, you want to collect historical data on a regular basis, so that if you are not aware that a problem is occurring, you may want to, after the fact, like at the end of the day, run some report against some baseline and some baseline transaction benchmark that you've run maybe the week before or at the same time and in comparable situation, and see how you behave and how you fare with that baseline. And even though there is no problem, you may find out that there may be some potential problem because the response time might be higher than expected, and you want to know why, because you want to be able to improve. We've seen about problem resolution and tracking and tracing benefits. Let me just give you also some screenshots as to what you can see for system resources. On slide number 19, you can see some Web3 resources views giving you some things like thread pools or CPU utilization or DB2 connection pools. These are very indicative of possible problems. On slide 20, more related to ZOS, you can see SMF 120 record capture on the fly for WAS. The SMF 120 records are basically generated by WAS Web Celebration Server running on Z. Instead of waiting until the end of the day to do that, you can see it on the fly. And also slide 21 and 22 show you some ways of collecting some workload management data also on the fly. As you may know, workload management plays an important role for load balancing between WebC application server control and servant regions. So running these type of monitoring functions on a regular basis would help you to proactively detect problems before they occur. And I guess I'd like to conclude by mentioning on slide 23 that this is not just a concept that I've been talking about, but actually this is corroborated by a study that was commissioned by IBM with Forrester Consulting. In May 2005, IBM Tivoli commissioned Forrester Consulting to examine the total economic impact and to measure the return on investment that you can expect with the deployment of IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for WebSphere, also known as IT Camp for WebSphere. And the results were pretty dramatic. You can see on the slide, the return on investment was close to 700% with a three-year total net savings greater than $2 million. And in fact, the payback period was less than 12 months because that means that within 1 year, the cost of purchasing IT Camp for WebSphere was offset by the return. A typical benefit was the response time it took to isolate a problem, which used to take 20 to 30 hours, and in fact, with IT Camp for WebSphere, it was reduced to 1 hour. That was a considerable change because you didn't have to use also a very senior technical person to isolate the problem, since it was done by the tool itself. So I have described, among other things, how composite transactions can be tracked and traced across the heterogeneous environments. There is another aspect that my colleague Joyce Ruff is going to look at, which is the tracking and monitoring of service requesters and service providers in those environments. So Joyce, please, if you would, to take over the stage.
Thank you. As Jean-Jacques has discussed, the IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager tool can provide extensive visibility to the transaction activity in your system environment. This tool provides a dashboard to view the performance metrics of the applications. Page 25 shows a new feature included in the dashboard view, which now provides the capability to monitor the application usage by the service requesters or user identities. This functionality utilizes technology from the IBM Tivoli Federated Identity Manager tool, but can operate separately. However, if you also include the Federated Identity Manager tool in your environment, the user ID information can be provided directly from this tool. Otherwise, the user ID can be pulled from the service request transaction. The capability to monitor application usage by user becomes increasingly more important in an SOA environment. Page 26 shows a view of the SOA trends, with the expectation that over two-thirds of organizations polled will be increasing their usage of the service-oriented architecture in their system environments. There are several reasons for this trend, especially the growth of the user community and the increasing complexity and diversity of the system environment. It becomes more critical to understand and control the application usage and loading as the number of users increases. This information could help to justify whether to make additional investments for the system environment. Additionally, the compliance concerns that Jean-Jacques mentioned earlier are even more relevant here, as it may be necessary to identify and correlate specific activities to specific users. Let's show an example to demonstrate the identity management aspect. Page 27 shows the process a person goes through in order to obtain a visa to work abroad. There are four different enforcement points that the information must be processed in and transferred between, but at all stages, the individual's unique identity information is retained and propagated through the flow so that throughout the transaction, the user identification is intact and trust validation is maintained. Now, let's apply this idea to an SOA environment shown on page 28. In your system environment, you will have multiple services and enforcement points for the applications and databases. To retain and propagate the identity information, it must be properly handled at each gateway. If you have to write custom code to support this at every enforcement point, anywhere from 100 to 5,000 lines of code, you're suddenly in the proprietary software development business and have to expend significant effort and resources maintaining and updating this code. On page 29, you can see that by using Tivoli Federated Identity Manager with the Web Services Trust client, you can easily share the unique identity with the right trusted source at the right time of runtime of the transaction to maintain a consistent business process. This allows you to focus on managing the identities in your environment instead of managing custom code. Page 30, we have a view of the environment with both application performance management using the Tivoli Composite Application Manager tool described earlier in this presentation and the application identity management with the Tivoli Federated Identity Manager, providing a comprehensive view of the environment's transactions and activity. Moving to page 31, you can also utilize Tivoli Federated Identity Manager as an SOA security service to provide identity integration for web services on ZOS subsystems, to protect ZOS-hosted web services using ZOS security services, and to preserve identity of the requesting user for access control and audits. This allows you to fully deliver end-to-end identity propagation in an SOA environment using the Tivoli Federated Identity Manager's Secure Token Service. On page 32, IBM recommends using RACF pass tickets in your SOA environment. Pass tickets provide a unique identification for a user coming into the enterprise service bus that can propagate a distributed identity to the mainframe using a consistent and manageable model. This model gives visibility between Tivoli Composite Application Manager and Tivoli Federated Identity Manager of the unique identities, ensuring the ability to show compliance in audit reports. On page 33, to wrap up, we show here the challenges for application and identity management integration. The Tivoli Composite Application Manager for SOA shows that web service response times may exceed thresholds, some messages are long. Further analysis can show that one specific user is sending those overlinked messages and impacting the performance. The solution is to utilize the Composite Application Manager to automatically reject messages from that user, and utilizing the Federated Identity Manager, you can place that user on restrictions or audit their other activities to ensure that you don't have denial of service attacks. Therefore, Composite Application Manager and Federated Identity Manager together enable providers to protect their web services from any misuse. On page 34, IBM continues to be recognized for our leadership in our security solutions with positions in Gartner's leadership quadrants in multiple categories, as well as many awards and recognitions over the years. I would like to hand off now to our guest speaker, Senior Analyst Julie Craig from Enterprise Management Associates.
Thank you very much. On May 8th, IBM announced three new products that deliver on the IBM Tivoli Composite Application Management Roadmap. ITCAM for Response Time is an end-user response time monitoring product that combines transaction performance metrics from synthetic transaction testing with real end-user monitoring. ITCAM for Web Resources installs on web and application servers and routes information on services running in the J2EE ecosystem to the IBM Tivoli Enterprise Portal. ITCAM for SOA 6.1 adds support for the WebSphere Message Broker and BEA WebLogic to the ITCAM for SOA solution. From an industry perspective, these announcements are significant for four key reasons. First, they deliver on the ITCAM roadmap announced in November 2006 by adding functionality aimed at managing today's complex, heterogeneous composite applications. These announcements indicate that IBM is continuing to build out its SOA and web services story in a stepwise fashion with focused functionality. An impressive feature of IBM software's development strategy is the evolving integration between the Rational, Tivoli, and WebSphere lines. It's clear that IBM is building towards a common vision. Moving such a vision forward within such a large company testifies to a first-rate organization with vision, planning, and the ability to execute. The second area of significance is the integration of metrics up to a single unified console, the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Positioning TEP as the common UI for IBM products brings a consistency across the product line that provides high value in terms of training and ease of use. It also standardizes application program interfaces, making it easier for IBM to standardize its own solutions over time on a single common interface and to integrate to other vendor products as well. Third, these announcements add strength and focus to the Tivoli governance story. Because SOA and web services simplify reuse and repurposing of software assets, governance quickly becomes a key performance indicator to the success or failure of a SOA initiative. Without adequate management, SOA adopters report that performance of production deployments can be adversely impacted by rogue users, unauthorized changes, and other governance issues. These announcements build on ITCAM's already robust management capabilities by adding visibility to new platforms, vendors, and technology. And fourth, they bring additional SOA-specific management capabilities to a market in which many competitors are still struggling to develop a viable SOA management solution. Managing the virtualized services characteristic of SOA and web services is still beyond the reach of many vendors who are focused on managing infrastructure and or transactions, but can't seem to bring the two together. To summarize, ITCAM was introduced in the fall of 2005, and the ensuing year and a half has proven out IBM Tivoli's product direction. During this same time frame, SOA has proven to be a disruptor in a management market largely composed of products designed for the rigid, multi-tiered applications of the past. While some competing vendors have still not been able to effectively turn this corner, IBM has addressed SOA in an integrated fashion across product lines. Integration between Rational and Tivoli, for example, is bringing market-leading capabilities to govern software from cradle to grave. Ease of deployment also seems to be a focal point, with most of these new products available via simple plugins. The Tivoli evolution has resulted in a robust, attractive product that is certainly among the leaders in the SOA management market. For final remarks, I'd like to turn the teleconference back over to Jean-Jacques.
Thank you. So, in conclusion, IBM and ZOS are joined at the hip. I mean to say that IBM invented ZOS and its ancestor OS 360 way back in the 1960s. So IBM is therefore the best company to provide tools that monitor the interaction leading to or taking place on the mainframe. As I was mentioning, even though you had a complex and tiered organization architecture, a lot of jewels of the crown can be found on the mainframe, and IBM is the mainframe. So in addition to being the mainframe company, IBM with Tivoli can maintain high performance and availability in a very volatile business climate. As I was mentioning during my presentation and during Joyce's presentation, you can not only identify problems very quickly and bring them to resolution in a very interesting amount of time, and you also can identify the location and the profile of your services and users. That helps bridge the application development on IT operation silos. Tivoli offers end-to-end solutions, providing end-to-end management to find and fix problems quickly, and leveraging System Z and Tivoli solutions. So CAM for monitoring and SIM for identity management in a SOA environment. SIM for System Z can centralize operation on S4SOA, enable rapid user provisioning, identify propagation, customize business rules, and act as a hub for token mediation, identity mapping, logging, and reporting. And ITCAM, in general, for transaction tracking, would provide the other view of the problem, which is the transaction tracking itself. Thank you.
Thank you to all our speakers. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. For our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. Question number 3. Do you currently have WebSphere applications which require performance or security management tools? If yes, press star 1. If no, but we plan to soon, press star 2. And if no, and we don't have plans to do so, press star 3. For our final question today, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and no, press star 2. And we thank you all for your responses. At this time, we would like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Also, if you are on a speakerphone, please release the mute function so that your signal can reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 for questions. I'll turn things back to our speakers while we wait for our first question. And once again, that is star 1 for any questions at this time. And it appears that we have no questions at this time. I'll turn it back to all of you for any concluding or closing remarks that you may have for today. Ms. Ross,
yes.
Hadeep, or Brian, do you all have any concluding remarks?
This is Joyce Ruff. I would just like to say thank you to the participants. And if you do have questions in the future, please feel free to contact the presenters via email, and we will be happy to address those in the future. Additionally, we do hope that we can provide the additional information you may need in order to utilize these technologies. Brian, would you like to add something?
I'd just like to say, again, thank you for everyone for attending, and we'll be passing out our contact information, and we're glad to follow up with any questions you might have about our combined solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.